We sat down and tried to figure out what is the insult that would go to the heart of an 18 to 20-year-old's brain, Cohen says. It didn't take too long to come up with asshole. The experiment went like this. The social science building at the University of Michigan has a long, narrow hallway in the basement lined with filing cabinets. The young men were called into a classroom, one by one, and asked to fill out a questionnaire. Then they were told to drop off the questionnaire at the end of the hallway and return to the classroom. A simple, seemingly innocent academic exercise. For half the young men, that was it. They were the control group. For the other half, there was a catch. As they walked down the hallway with their questionnaire, another man, a confederate of the experimenters, walked past them and pulled out a drawer in one of the filing cabinets. The already narrow hallway became even narrower. As the young man tried to squeeze by, the confederate looked up, annoyed. He slammed the filing cabinet drawer shut, jostled the young man with his shoulder, and in a low but audible voice, he said the trigger word, asshole. Cohen and Nisbet wanted to measure, as precisely as possible, what being called that word meant. They looked at the faces of their subjects and rated how much anger they saw. They shook the young men's hands to see if their grip was firmer than usual. They took saliva samples from the students, both before and after the insult, to see if being called an asshole caused their levels of testosterone and cortisol, the hormones that drive arousal and aggression, to go up. Finally, they asked the students to read the following story and supply a conclusion. It had only been about 20 minutes since they arrived at the party when Jill pulled Steve aside, obviously bothered about something. "What's wrong?" asked Steve. "It's Larry. I mean, he knows that you and I are engaged, but he's already made two passes at me tonight." Jill walked back into the crowd, and Steve decided to keep his eye on Larry. Sure enough, within 5 minutes, Larry was reaching over and trying to kiss Jill. If you've been insulted, are you more likely to imagine Steve doing something violent to Larry? The results were unequivocal. There were clear differences in how the young man responded to being called a bad name. For some, it didn't. But the deciding factor wasn't how emotionally secure they were, or whether they were an intellectual or a jock, or whether they were physically imposing or not. What mattered, and I think you can guess where this is headed, is where they were from. The young men from the northern part of the United States, for the most part, treated the incident with amusement. They laughed it off. Their handshakes were unchanged. Their levels of cortisol actually went down, as if they were unconsciously trying to diffuse their own anger. Only a few of them had Steve get violent with Larry. But the Southerners? Oh my. They were angry. Their cortisol and testosterone jumped. Their handshakes got firm. Steve was all over Larry. "We even played this game of chicken," Cohen said. "We sent the students back down the hallway, and around the corner comes another Confederate. The hallway is blocked, so there's only room for one of them to pass. The guy we used was 6'3", 250 pounds. He used to play college football. He was now working as a bouncer in a college bar. He was walking down the hall in business mode, the way you walk through a bar when you're trying to break up a fight. The question was, how close do they get to the bouncer before they get out of the way? And believe me, they always get out of the way." For the Northerners, there was almost no effect. They got out of the way 5 or 6 feet beforehand, whether they had been insulted or not.